title of the message for today is, as you see it, I Thirst. And I love this title, I Thirst. I mean, this is something that people say all the time. I'm thirsty, you know. If anybody else say it, it may mean nothing much. But the person who is saying, I thirst, on the cross, is divine. So that's why it is so meaningful. Okay? It is so meaningful. And there are seven sayings that Jesus said on the cross, which is a historic event. The first one, of course, as you know, forgive them. He's praying for those who are actually put him on the cross, actually praying for the soldiers. Forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Can you believe that? Right? That's divine. The second one is, as we talked about last week, there are two robbers, insurrectionists, next to them. And somehow, one of them come to realize that this is not a mere a regular person. And he come to the place where he asked Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come to the paradise. And then Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the second saying. And third saying is an amazing statement. Under this condition, Jesus actually looks out after a mother. We have Mother's Day coming up in 2 weeks. And that's the message I'm planning to deliver, okay? And he said, woman, here is your son. Hey, here is your mother. And we talked about that. This is significant meaning. And we do want to talk about 4, 5, 6, 7. And the one that we're going to be talking about is the fifth one, I thirst. And what precedes that is significant one. My God, why have you forsaken me? If you listen to it carefully, it's not in the process, have you forsaken me? Which means it is done. God has already forsaken him. Okay? And then he says, I thirst, which I will explain. And the one follows that is what we just sang. It is finished. Every single one of them is significant statement. And the last one, just to complete, he said, into thy hand, Father, I commit my spirit. He yielded his life sort of voluntarily. Okay? So, those are the seven sayings of Jesus, who we believe is divine, on the cross. Right? And we want to talk about the fifth one today, which is the shortest, but I think it is one of the best. Okay? I mean, they're all good, but I think this one is really, really interesting. When Jesus said between these two cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it is finished. He said, I thirst. What does that mean? What kind of thirst was that? Was that just simple physiological thirst that you get from playing basketball? Right? Was it because he was scourged and flogged and he was beat up? Right? His body was screaming for water under the scorching sun of Palestinian sun for about 5 hours. Could you picture that? Because it is it really helps if you just could picture that. You've been hung on a tree about 5 hours now. Even if you want to scratch your nose, you can't do that. That drives you crazy, doesn't it? When you get itchy and if you don't scratch it. And you need to go to the bathroom and you can't. You're just there. You're stuck there for about 3 hours after the scorching, after the beat up, under the scorching sun of Palestinian sun. You know, Jesus said, I thirst. Can I give you helpful information about that? Up to this point, Jesus never complained about discomfort. He never even mentioned anything. Jesus never, up to this point, complained or expressed discomfort or pain, suffering in any verbal ways. Okay, so this is more than just, oh, this is unbearable. I'm thirsty. It's not that. Even under the excruciating torture of flogging, Roman flogging, beaten up by soldiers with fists and crown of thorns, mocking. He never complained up to this point. Never. Or at least the gospel writers do not include and report any of them. So what is this thirst when he said, I thirst? Can we just come back to us? What is thirst physiologically? Okay. Do you get thirsty? I'm sure you do, okay? Thirst, if I may put it this way, it is a mechanism, God-given mechanism, through which a person is signaled and impulsed to the absolute need of water. That's what thirst is, okay? To survive and to live. In other words, you get thirsty and you feel thirsty because you need water, okay? You need water. Your body is crying for water. Or else you will be dehydrated. And if it continues, organs will eventually fail. You know, I looked it up. I Googled, and I love using Google. Okay, Google answers everything, right? So it continues, organ fails, and eventually you die rather quickly. It doesn't take more than a week. Don't try it, okay? About 3 days, a lot of you will just can't take it anymore. About 5 days, perhaps one of your organs will fail, and in about 7 days, you'll die. Okay? That's how essential water is. And that is to say, here's the point. Water is life. Water is life. At this point, I want to just share one verse from the Old Testament that speaks about water. Would you listen? This is God speaking to humanity. That's you and I. Actually, in the context, he's speaking to Israelites. And this is what God said to humanity. Now listen carefully. My people have committed two evils. Okay, my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me. Isn't that kind of interesting? Jesus said, my God, why are you forsaking me? But here is God speaking in Jeremiah chapter 2 to his people and to the humanity. My people have forsaken me, the spring of living water. God is the spring of living water. Okay? The second thing, and they have forsaken me and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? We give up the spring of living water, and then we try to dug our own cistern, own well, and only problem with that is when God sees that, it's just so ridiculous because it's a broken one. It doesn't hold any water. Did you hear it? This is God speaking to humanity. Okay. Now we'll look at today's text. Jesus on the cross. Okay. For those of you who have been coming to the church, we spent about 2 years with Gospel of John. We finally come to the climax, which is the historic event of Jesus' death. And the whole purpose of the book of John is so that you may believe that Jesus is God. He's not just mere human being. If it's a mere human being, you get thirsty, no big deal. But this is not mere human being, right? So we come to this climax, and chapter 19, verse 28 says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all has now finished, even under this condition, Jesus knows. He's divine. He knows all things. Bible says he knows all men and what is in a man. You know, I don't know why you're sitting here today. I don't know exactly what the motive was. Probably your friend invited you. It's our anniversary. Please come and join us. All these reasons. But you know what? There is a deeper purpose. Bible says he knows all men and what is in a man. He knows all of you and what is in you. Okay? So Jesus, knowing that all has now finished, comma, and to fulfill the scripture, he said, I thirst. Okay? By saying, I thirst, what follows fulfills the scripture. Okay? And so what happens? When he says, I thirst, there is someone right around him, a jar full of sour wine, stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine and a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And some of you are looking at this Bible for the first time. Why is that in the Bible? It sounds so insignificant. So it's such a small thing. I mean, who cares? Drinking sour wine, which is like a cheap beer kind of thing at the time. Okay? And using a hyssop branch. What does that mean? Why is this recorded like that? You know why it is recorded like that? Because that was prophesied 700 years ago. Such a small detail, and now is being fulfilled. Now, would you think with me, logically? If the Bible promises a small thing like that, right? The Messiah on the cross drinking sour wine, cheap beer, and it was prophesied and it is not fulfilled, then what happens to the Bible? It becomes not trustworthy. It's just nothing, right? Hey, Bible, who cares? But looking at that kind of detail, which was foretold 700 years ago, and now it is fulfilled in a person of Messiah, now what do you sense? Whoa, maybe God is alive. Maybe God is alive. And can I just tell you something? It's not one prophecy, but about 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, spread out all over the Old Testament, including Isaiah 53. I know you know Isaiah 53, right? Not one, 300 details. All these details, news, like, not that, you know, not very important, seem like stuff was fulfilled in one person. So what does that mean? When you see, right, these detailed information being fulfilled, if it doesn't get fulfilled, then you lose the trust of the Bible, the authenticity or trustworthiness of the Bible. However, if small things like that is fulfilled 700 years ago, right now, if it is fulfilled, then you begin to see perhaps God is alive and he controls history. Because that's exactly what the scripture says. God controls history and the details of your life. That's why you're sitting here. Okay? That's why you are sitting here. So which Bible verse is Jesus was thinking about at that critical moment? It was Psalm 22, which is known as, get this, known as Psalm of Crucifixion. There is such Psalm, Psalm 22. Can you believe that? Here is the Son of Man, God, in the middle, and he's saying, thirst. I'm thirsty, right? Psalm 22, it begins like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Prophesied 700 years ago. Whoa. Could that be an accident? Some of you may be thinking, I mean, how did that happen? Jesus, 700 years later, on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it is recorded just like that, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Not only that, if you go to the next verse, verse 6 says, for I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. That sounds like crucifixion picture. Let's continue, okay? Verse 14 and 15, I'm going to skip for now. And verse 16 says, for dogs surround me and encompasses me, a company of evildoers and so circle me, and they have pierced my hands and feet. That sounds like crucifixion. Could that be a coincidence? That's such a detailed information, isn't it? And it goes on further. I could count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. Do you remember? They try to break the leg of Jesus to kill him, you know, to kill him quickly. But because he was already dead, no bone was broken. Therefore, all of his bone was intact. It was prophesied. One more, right? Verse 18, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lot. Now, that's such a detail. Right before this verse 28, this is what happened. Jesus was undressed, basically, and all his clothings were divided by four soldiers. And there was one more clothing, article of clothing, which was seamless, a little bit more expensive. So one of the soldiers suggests, instead of dividing that, why don't we cast a lot? So one person get it all. Did they know the scripture? I don't think so. But that's exactly what happened. And it is recorded in the scripture. Okay? But what I want to address is verse 14 and 15. In between, my God, why have you forsaken me? And his death, there is that picture of thirst. Can we take a look at verse 14 and 15? I am poured out like water. What is that expression? It means completely poured out. He is going through some sort of execution right now. I'm just completely poured out. People are laughing at me, despising me. I'm being treated like a worm. And I'm in such agony, and I'm poured out like water. And next, all my bones are out of my joint. Have you ever had a dislocated joint? It's so painful. And he's saying, all of my bones are out of joint. Let's go further. And my heart is like wax, and it is completely melted. Could you appreciate that? Your joints are out of your bones are out of your joint, and you are poured out like water, and your heart has melted. Okay? And my strength is like dried up like a potsherd, meaning I'm just shattered. I'm just shattered. And then the next one is, I think, the key one. My tongue sticks to my jaw. Could you try that? What's going on? You're so thirsty. You're so thirsty. Why is that? Next verse explains it. Because God, Lord, you lay me in death. You know what's going on? He's experiencing death. This person, this Messiah, is experiencing death because God has forsaken him. Okay? Why did that happen? Some of you may or may not know this, so I'm going to explain it. Jesus was on the cross, took your sin and mine, okay? So he became a curse. So what God was doing was, God had to forsake him because God is holy and he is pouring his judgment upon him, his wrath upon him. That's exactly what Christian gospel is, okay? Pour out his holy wrath upon sin, which was on the Son, and God was dealing with him personally. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's an utter cry of a son who was forsaken by the Father. Can you even imagine what that feels like? Your Father has forsaken you. Okay? So what he's going through is the judgment of God upon sin on the cross. In other words, he was in hell. That's exactly what it means. Okay? Some of you may be thinking, is that true theologically? Absolutely is. Okay? Those of you who understand, who know Apostles' Creed, it goes like this. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, and he descended into hell. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended unto heaven. That line, he descended into hell. Now, that's a problematic statement throughout history because people misunderstand. People think Jesus went to hell after he died. No. After he died, his flesh went right to the grave and his spirit went right to the Father. That's exactly what happens. I've been explaining this. But on the cross, because God has forsaken him because of his sin, he became sin and he was pouring his judgment, which is for you and I, which is eternal. That was hell. He was descended into hell. And under that setting, he was thirsty. That's the thirst. I don't know whether you ever really felt thirsty. Okay? I felt thirsty for 2 weeks when I went to Ecuador in 1986. I shared this story many times. I don't know why we went deep into the village and they did not have refrigerators. 1986, it's not that long ago. But, so we didn't have any water. So we didn't have any bottled water. Only thing, for some reason, we could find was Fanta or Coke. Really, really warm. Have you ever tried it? Don't try it, okay? So when you get really thirsty, the only thing you could drink was like really heated up Fanta. You know, I drink heated up Fanta, which makes me angry. When you drink something like that, you know, when you are thirsty, you get angry. You get really, really thirsty. Jesus was thirsty in hell. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus describes the thirst in hell. Do you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The story of heaven and hell. Some of you may be hearing for the first time about heaven and hell. This is the story that Jesus told in the Bible about heaven and hell. Would you listen? There are two men. One was rich man, and the other one was a beggar. Poor Lazarus. Kind of interesting that rich man doesn't have a name. The rich man doesn't have a name, but the poor guy has a name. His name is Lazarus. Okay. Basically, what the story was, the rich man was living in an extravagance. Like a king, every day enjoying his life, but living for himself. And then there was a Lazarus right in front of his house, and he was in need. He didn't have food, and he has sicknesses, he has sores, so dogs came and licked his sores and things like that. So there are two men. And then story goes like this. Jesus changed the story quickly like this. Both died. Both died. Both of them died. And Lazarus, who lived in much agony and need, went to heaven with Abraham, right? And the rich guy, rich man, who lived in extravagance and lifestyle just for himself, selfish lifestyle, he ended up in Hades, ended up in hell. Okay? Yes, heaven and hell. Some of you may be wondering, is there heaven and hell? Well, Jesus said very clearly there is. Not only he said there is, he went to hell. In fact, he created heaven and hell. Do you understand? Okay, some of you may be wondering, is there heaven and hell? If you wonder, you will not find an answer. Okay, but Jesus said heaven and hell, and he went to hell. So rest of the story goes like this. It's mainly about the rich guy in hell. Okay, Jesus, by the way, spoke more about hell more than anybody. More than Paul, more than John. Jesus himself talked about hell more than anybody. And some of you may be wondering why. You know why? Because he came to save. Save from what? Save from your eternal damnation and hell. That's why he went to hell. Okay, so here's the rest of the story. The rich man in torment. He was in torment in hell, and he saw Abraham and Lazarus in heaven. Somehow, I guess they see each other. And this is what the rich man says to Abraham. Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He's asking for mercy in hell. Okay, have mercy on me and send Lazarus over here and let him dip the end of his finger into water and cool my tongue. Okay? For I am in anguish and so thirsty in the flame. So he's thirsty. So what he's asking? He's asking Lazarus, send him over here, and all I want is for him to just dip his end of his finger into water and cool my tongue. Just one drop of water. One drop of water. And I used to read this story and says, oh, yeah. 2 years ago, one of elder in our church, Kwon-sanim, almost died in the hospital. And she's still alive. Doctors gave her two more days. You know, she's not going to last more than 48 hours. And I remember visiting her. This is a couple years ago, 2 years ago, right? And because of her infection in GI system, really, really severe infection, nothing by mouth, MPO, okay, nothing by mouth. So she couldn't drink anything. And she had a fever because of infection. And I visited her one morning, and she said, this is what she told me, Pastor, last night, I was so thirsty. All I wanted was someone to dip his finger into that water and cool my tongue. I'm not exaggerating. And then I feel like I could have just revived. It's real, people. Thirst is real. And this rich man in hell was thirsty. So thirsty, and he was asking for just one drop of mercy and water. And what did Abraham say? Listen, you had your good things in this world. Lazarus lived in anguish. Now he's with me. And besides, there is a great chasm between you and I cannot come over from here to there and from there to here. This is Jesus' theology, people. In other words, he was asking for one drop of water, one drop of mercy, but there is no mercy in hell. There is no mercy in hell. Okay? You'll be thirsty forever. And Jesus was on the cross, was thirsty of your eternal thirst. Why did Jesus went to the cross? Why did he come? If it's God, why did he come? And why did he die like that? Why did he went to the cross and live that most humiliating, excruciating kind of death? Why? Why? Don't you ask that, right? Is it just to physiologically and psychologically get beat up and flogged and mocked and nailed and pierced and even thirst to death for you? Is that what it is? Just physically and psychologically? You know, I was thinking about this. That physical and physiological pain compared to his pain and torment and thirst in hell, that probably was like a mosquito bite. I'm not exaggerating, people. That probably was like a mosquito bite compared to his hell taking on the full force of the judgment of God, which is eternal. And all of you, all humanity, right? Then why did he go to the cross? For you to have water. Or else you would be thirsty for eternity. Seriously, people, this is the Word of God. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. That's what Jesus is about. The cross is about. In John chapter 4, Jesus met Samaritan woman. And the woman who was nutty, right? She failed her marriage 5 times. It's very difficult to find people like that even now. She probably was a prostitute, Samaritan, outcast, Miss Nobody, really angry at life and angry at men, she must have, right? So Jesus meet this Samaritan woman and invite with this word, and he's inviting you. If you drink this water, you'll be thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. Because the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water. Spring of water. Not just water, but spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you hear it? Can I just ask you, are you thirsty? Remember, you get thirsty because you need water. Absolute need of water. And my question to you is, how about your soul? Are you thirsty in your soul? You need water. Not just one bottle of water. You need spring of living water. Wait a minute. Isn't God the spring of living water in Jeremiah chapter 2? You have done 2 evils, and you have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and you dug your own cistern, which is a broken one, which doesn't hold any water. I am God in Jeremiah. He is the spring of living water. And Jesus saying, if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst, because the water that I give you is the spring of water. In other words, God in you. That's him. That's Jesus, people. That's the Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus get thirsty? Because he was bore your sin. And the wrath of judgment came upon him. How then you and I could get this water? Only through Jesus and his thirst on the cross. Only through his death in hell, which is yours. Okay, only through him. What do I need to do? It may be your first time joining our church. It may be you've been coming to church for the last 27 years or 30 years. You may or may not know this water. You may or may not. Okay, what do I have to do? Here's what you have to do, according to Jesus. You simply need to come without any strings attached and surrender and drink of him. You don't need to bring anything. You don't need to bring your money. You just need to come, Lord, because I'm thirsty, that you took my thirst on the cross. You just need to come and drink without anything, any conditions attached, that you are ready to turn from your life and submit to him. That's it. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Is your soul thirsty? You're so angry and depressed. Just want to kill someone. I have seen people like that. I know someone who said some years ago, only thing that I want to do is invent this atomic bomb and just blow up the whole world. And you laugh because we hear this news everywhere, though. Right? Are you thirsty? You know why you're thirsty? Because you need water. You need life. Water is life. Okay? Just want to share a couple of verses. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters. You have no money, come and buy and eat. You don't need to bring money. Don't bring anything. It's free. It's grace. That's why he came. He came because he wants to give to you. You got to be the stubbornest person to reject that. You got to be stubborn to reject that. He came to give to you. Okay? That's why he was thirsty, people. One more verse, which is the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb, that's Jesus, Lamb of God. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Okay? He will lead them to the spring of living water. Do you have it? I'm serious. I didn't ask you if you went to church or not. I didn't ask you whether you're religious or not. Do you have it? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Jesus came to give you that living spring of living water. Do you have it? You know, Psalm 22 is made up of 31 verses. First 20 verses is excruciating pain. He was thirsty, he was despised, and his heart was melted. His bones were out of his joint. Everything was horrible. And then verse 21, it turns around. When you have a chance, read it. The whole nations will bow down before him. And it ends with this verse, 31. Okay? Dot, 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 dot. And he has done it. But in Hebrew, in the original text, there is no subject. So, has done it. In other words, it is finished. Isn't that amazing? It begins with fourth saying of Jesus. It ends with sixth saying of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Just want to say it one more time. Are you thirsty? I did not ask you whether you went to church. Are you thirsty? Jesus went to hell on the cross, and he thirsts for you. All you have to do is come without any strings attached. You just surrender to his lordship. And I want that water, and come and drink. Let's pray.